The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it. Let's fucking go.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We're joined today by Dean Thomas, who's sitting in with us, which is always good. Hi, Dean.
Oh, we're starting?
Yes.
We're starting now. We got right off the jump. You know what I'm saying? What's up, y'all?
Yep, we have started.
Let me see. I'm fixing my camera as we're starting. Oh, my nipples are hard, but
it's okay.
I love jujitsu.
Me too.
Yeah. You know what's really sick?
What?
I was wearing that same fucking shirt this morning.
Really?
You want me to go get it? I swear to God. But then no one's happening. I sweat. So I changed my shirt.
When did you get back, Matt? Did you guys fly home yesterday?
Wiping my mouth. How do you pronounce his last name again?
Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili,
yeah.
Say it again?
Dvalishvili.
I know him forever. He's one of my.
Yeah, he's one of your guys. The hard name to say. Dvalishvili. Yeah.
Wait. Some people, they don't have their radios too loud. You know what I'm saying? So I have to make sure they know what happened over the weekend. Who done well? Who I'm really happy about? Why I'm on cloud nine? Guys, man, how was your weekend?
It was good, uneventful. Dean, how about you?
It was interesting, to say the least, I'd say.
Guys, I'm a little too out of control. Can we start the show now?
No, we've already started. No. We got to do something after. That first part's fine. People will stick with it. They'll know what's happening. It's okay.
Guys, I'm so happy. I really am.
You should be happy, man. Marab came out and represented. He represented Sarah Longo Jiu-Jitsu Squad, and you should be happy about that.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I'm hearing some shit where I'm feeling that people might not be happy with the fight. And I love Jose Aldo, okay?
Yeah.
For the people that don't know, that are listening, I was in the corner of Marab over the weekend. Dvalishvili. I suck, guys.
Just call him Marab. That's what we all do.
Yeah, Marab. We know who you mean.
I'm doing it for him and the people, not just for me.
Okay.
But anyway, I was in his corner over the weekend, and he fought the legend, Jose Aldo.
Right.
Now, on paper, and we knew this going in, Jose Aldo is probably one of the worst matchups in the division for Marab.
For anybody.
But specifically for Marab's style. Because Marab is so good at getting it down. His MMA wrestling, not straight up wrestling, which is great also. His MMA wrestling is top notch. It is world class. And his timing on getting the fight to the floor with the strikes is as good as it comes. But Jose Aldo is just fucking, his takedown defense is just uncanny. It is. And we knew that. That's why similar to Marab versus Dotson, who's hard to keep down. up against the cage. Hey, dude, you got to address that shit, man. You can't just fucking act like you're yawning. Oh, the crowd's with you. I don't give a fuck who's there. You got to get out of there.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know what I mean? So it's like, we knew a lot of shit might, a lot of battles and will be fought up against that cage. It's not easy to get this guy off you. He's stuck to you. And if you want to try to get out, he's going to switch to a takedown. So, hey, man, I don't like that. I saw it's like nothing surprised. We didn't get surprised by that. But what I'm hearing, though, some people, is that, oh, it wasn't like the most exciting or this and that. Dude, I maybe because I was more invested in it. You know the way Merab fights. Unless Merab just stood and traded with him, if that's what you want, maybe to get a more exciting fight. But then again, Merab might most likely get knocked out with a guy like Jose Aldo.
And he doesn't get tired. Here's the thing about Merab, Matt, and this is what I saw Jose doing that. And when a guy is doing that, it's because he wants Merab off him and he can't get him off him. Yeah. And he's hoping the ref will break it up. But, I mean, that's not the ref's job, and it's not Merab's job to fight according to what he gets an applause from the third row. His job is to win the fight. And if Jose doesn't like what's happening, his job is to get Merab off him.
After, between round one and two, back when he fought Dotson goes to his corner. He goes, he's not doing nothing. He's not doing anything to me. And it's like, hey, dude, what the fuck are you doing to him? Well, you know what I mean? My point with the thing with Jose Aldo was, because I also didn't like that he laid down afterwards. I understand you might be upset you didn't win. But what the fuck did you do to deserve the win? With all due respect. What the fuck did you show? Tell me how you won. What the fuck? He didn't get you down? He didn't keep you down? What, do you want a fucking cookie? Like, I don't know. Did you bring the fight to him and you didn't get him down? I mean, I don't know. Talk to me.
When I was on the broadcast, I was going to actually address that. Like, I did say that, you know, Aldo loses rounds. He lets guys sneak up and beat him in rounds because he doesn't do shit. And that's the reality is that it's not Merab's job to dumb his fighting style down so that Aldo can have a chance and make Aldo look good. Merab fought a perfect fight. He fought brilliantly. I thought he took more chances than he needed to. Like, he broke when he didn't need to in order to create some type of action. And Aldo didn't do anything. So Merab fought brilliantly and, in fact, took more chances than he needed to in order to make the action happen.
I also think, by the way, Jose got very bad corner advice. I want to say it was after the second where they told him, like, there's no way the judges could give this to them unless they said something about the judges. There's no way they could find this. But Aldo hadn't done anything in the round, and I thought that he clearly lost the round, and I thought he got bad advice or bad it was bad for his corner to tell him that because I did not think he was ahead. I thought he was losing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I went to that judges course, and I know how judges are scoring these fights now. And in no situation did Aldo win any round of that fight. Merab won every round of that fight, almost every minute of that fight.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say, I don't know what they showed on the broadcast between rounds with me and Longo and Aljo. But I remember in that third round saying, man, it could easily be 1-1. Like, I don't know if I said that exactly, but yeah, I said, we need that. Like, we need this last round. Yeah, easily it could be 1-1. Easily. Like, listen. The judges could easily make it 1-1.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like in my mind, if it's in question at all, it's not your round. I knew he won the second round. Knew it. Yeah. We all, there's no question. The first round, I thought he would have won it. Two of the judges didn't agree. Two of the judges gave that first round to Aldo. You know that.
That's crazy to me.
I'm pretty sure because it was 29-28.
Yeah, all three.
So, yes, I was correct thinking that, hey, man, if it's in question at all, I'm not fucking risking it. We need that fucking last round.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a cattle prod, but I'm fucking psyched in that fuck. We're in the fucking trenches. So it's like that last round. And Merab, one of his biggest attributes is he starts strong. He fucking ends strong. Oh, he's got that same fucking relentless pace. And it wears you the fuck out. And then you're just a sitting duck. So I think guys are afraid. They feel it. So they're afraid to try to match any explosiveness because they know that he's not going to – they'll go from here to here, and he's going to stay here. You know what I mean? And keep attacking. He's a pit bull. He really is.
And Aldo had a few good body shots. He did some good body work, and he threw some great kicks. But he just didn't do enough of that, too. I don't think he won any round. I agree.
Yeah, I don't think so also, but I know judges are weird. Sometimes they get – he did a kick. Merab went – he I went back and I watched it. He didn't really land shit at all in that first
round. You mean when Rob spun around? Was that the first round, I think, when he kicked him? Yeah,
yeah, but with that, in a combination with the crowd behind, it's easy. Yeah. Judges on your side.
Well, that's the thing. Because they're not supposed to have bias like that, but it's hard to not have bias when you are influenced by all those different external factors, the crowd and Jose Aldo's reputation, all that stuff does play a factor. But when you take all that out, you disregard all that. He didn't do anything in that fight to win. It was all Merab on full speed.
And at the end with the laying down, I like him. I like Andre Pettineros. But it's like, dude, you know the crowd's with you. Merab is a super gentleman. And like, what are you doing? Come on, man. Don't shit on his fucking, you're going to shit on his fucking parade now? The guy came at you like a pit bull. You didn't fucking pull the trigger. You know what I mean? And, you know, come on. Yeah, do the right thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I love everybody. But, you know, that was a little like, I was like, you know, I say, get up.
Well, I was happy for you, Matt. I was happy for you guys because I saw how much work y'all put into it. And his post-fight speech was classy to give Aljo so much credit for him even being in that position, saying, listen, I'm not going to fight him because he's the reason why I'm even in this position. That was classy, and I love that.
Now, that's something that I don't feel the UFC is going to be thrilled about, but it is. This is the thing. You're not going to throw any – this is the difference – this in Longo, I was talking about it with Longo a lot at breakfast the other day. This is not Rashad Evans and John Jones. Merab is a different breed of guy in a sense where you could life changing money, this and that. Some guys are happy the way they are. You know what I mean? Like, you don't give me the money's an extra, but like, you're not going to throw something at this guy that's going to change his mind. They'll be like, oh, okay, you know what? Now I'm going to take Aldo's head off. It's not going to fucking happen. I'm just letting you know. I just know. So like, there's enough guys to fight and it's just not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. So you might as well just, you know, Merab, to know Merab is to love Merab. I mean, he's the best type of guy.
Doesn't that put him in a tough position too, though? Because deep down now, every time Aljo fights, there has to be a part of Merab, as much as he loves Aljo, that wants to see a new champion so he can fight for the belt. But between two guys, how do they navigate that?
Trust me when you're saying somewhere deep down, no, because what you're saying right there without saying it, somewhere deep down when he fights, he wants him to maybe lose so he gets a shot. That, Jimmy, trust me, that might be a thought of a person
with
who's got some morals, but yet is it just a right? He's this guy. How about this? He's about to fight last night and Saturday night. And like Aljo's warming him up, right? And he'd warm up hard. I mean, dude, he beats the shit out of him. He warms up hard. You know, he's fucking kicking fucking Aljo. And afterwards, I was like, yeah, you're out and you got to walk in four. You got to walk in this and that. He's getting changed. We're like, all right, we got to go. He's taking a towel and he's drying off Aljo. He's drying him off before he puts his shirt on.
Jesus.
He's about to walk off he's about to walk out to the biggest fight of his life. And he's taking his time and he's drying this guy off. And it'd be like, dude, what are you? They're like, come on, man. You're a good guy. What the fuck are you? Dude, I'll tell you, I swear to God, I get emotional. He's such a good guy.
So he'd probably go down to flyweight then, right? Like, you think he would jump down to flyweight?
Dude,
I think he would stay where he's at. And then if the opportunity arose, then he would take advantage of it. But the reality is like me and Matt, we've been around fighters for a long time and many of them are different. They do have a mentality like this. Some of them have a mentality like this and they're not scumbags to where they're just looking for opportunities to take advantage of. But guys like Merab, they're a rare breed, but they do exist. And I believe him when he says, I'll just hang out and just be the gatekeeper until my time comes. And I wish for Aljo to be champ forever. And I'll just hang out here and be a second man. And I believe him when he says that.
I think DC and Kane had that relationship. Like, that's the one I can think of. And there probably are other relationships like that where guys have just said they would never fight. So I've heard of it before, but I can't think of any other examples other than Kane and DC. I'm sure that you guys probably know more.
Well, I'm sure Khabib and Islam probably would have been situation. Yeah.
And we're going to get into the main event really soon. I want to talk about that. We're only talking about this because I, you know, I
love
it's Merab. But yeah, like we were saying, that's something that's just never going to happen, you know? And it's not a bad thing. You know, it really isn't. There's enough guys. There's enough guys, you know what I mean, to fucking take out.
Yeah.
But, all right, let's go. So, hey, listen, congrats to Merab. I can't wait to see what's next for him.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a great fight.
Yeah, and Aldo has no one to blame but himself. Like, he, again, it's not the ref's job to pull Merab off him so he can do what he wants to do. He knew what Merab was going to do. I mean, he knew what Merab was going to do coming in.
Hey, man, listen. I couldn't be happy. They're probably building a fucking statue of Merab in Georgia right now. Listen, let's go. And D. Thomas, I know you were there, cage side. I was very happy. I know I was my ADD and my adrenaline. When I made my way down the stairs. No, when I was the first guy I seen. Oh no, when I got up, I think before I even got in the cage.
Yeah, we didn't even go up yet.
I hope I wasn't too in and out, but you know. Yeah, but I was so happy to see you.
Well, nah, I mean, you kind of brushed me off, but you know what I'm saying?
I'm kidding. It was a quick interaction.
Yeah,
me and Dean and Longo had breakfast the other day, Jimmy.
That's nice. Oh, yeah, I think I saw the picture you put it on Instagram.
No, wait, it was dinner. Was it dinner?
It was dinner.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And as I arrived that day, I was out of my mind, man. Well, anyway.
As usual.
Guys.
Paulo Costa, Luke Rockhold. What did you...
No, wait a minute.
What?
You going up that way? You don't want to go right to the main event?
Oh, we can... I was just going in order. But if you want to go...
Fuck order, man. How dare you disrespect Leon Edwards?
Well, hold on. It's not disrespecting. That was the headline fight, so I was making it the headline thing. We can talk about Leon Edwards.
You're right. Let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
Leon Edwards. I'm very happy for him.
I can't wait to talk about the Paulo Costa story with Luke Rockhold. But
yes,
you're right. We should talk about Leon Edwards because it was so epic. I mean, come on, man. Last minute?
I know. That was wild.
No, you know what I love? This is what I fucking love. And I didn't get to see it live. One of my students, Johnny, sent it to me. And it was the corner work of Eve Edwards. I'm an asshole. I'm disrespecting.
Wow.
Hey, Kamaru Usman. That's from you, you cocksucker. I watch your thing too many times. He does a great
Kamaru. Okay, no. I give you a pass.
Where was I now? Bring me back.
You tell me Eve Edwards.
The corner work of Eve Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Leon Edwards' corner. I fucking love this. The corner work in between in the last round, the fourth and fifth round, he goes, quit feeling fucking sorry for yourself. He's like, what the? I loved it. He goes, because when Leon went back to the corner, he did. He looked defeated.
Yeah.
Between the third and fourth. He looked defeated. He went back. He put his arms over the fucking thing. I want to get the trainer's name that was yelling at him. It was his main guy, I believe.
Yeah.
You got to get the guy's name for me. You have to. We have to find this guy. And he said, you want me to play it? Let me just play it. Can I play it, guys? Why am I asking you?
Just play it.
Jimmy, my fucking show too. I'll do what I want.
And Dean, Matt, while you're looking for that, Dean, you were commenting and you were saying that he looked like he was really, that he had kind of given up and was looking for the moral victory of finishing the fight. Do you think that's what he was dealing with, plus the fatigue? And then not, it wasn't a lucky kick. It was a beautiful kick. But do you think that he just saw that moment, or do you think that he was sitting on something, reserving something?
Not throughout the fight. Listen, a guy's mindset throughout a fight changes drastically. And I took a lot of shit for this, but I still stand by it. When he was coming back to those rounds, because I've cornered thousands of guys, and I know the look in their eye when they're like, damn it, this is not going my way. I don't, you know, I'm kind of broken. He was broken when he went back to that round and when he went back to the corner. And his corner said, stop. There's no other reason why the corner would say, stop fucking feeling sorry for yourself, because he was fucking broken. See? And then that lit a fire under him, and he went out there and was like, all right, maybe I have a shot. And he found that kick. So that was the reality of it. But prior to that, this man was absolutely, he was broken, man. There's no doubt in my mind that he wasn't broken, because you saw it in his face as he was going back around. He wouldn't even look at his corner in the eye.
Shoot at him. That's what he said. Fucking shit, that dude. And then he fucking did. It was so good.
You got to pull this shit out of the fire. That was great.
Shoot at him.
That, yeah,
dude,
great.
No, stop feeling fucking sorry for yourself.
Now, Jimmy, now you tell me, does that look like a confident man going back to the corner?
No, and I also... Again, you were right. The only reason he would say is stop feeling sorry for yourself. He wasn't even giving technical advice. He was giving mental advice. He wasn't saying, hey, you know, giving physical advice. You know what I mean? It was a mental thing.
Listen, the head kick is there. Set it up with the low kick. He said, stop feeling fucking sorry for yourself. What's wrong with you? To me, that's how you talk to a broken fighter.
I think he's
coming out looking to head kick the pound for pound fighter in the world. So he did his job, and it was brilliant.
And it worked well, yeah.
Jimmy, he wasn't tired. Everybody's tired. He wasn't back there like he wasn't like that. The fight AJ versus
AJ and Angulosa.
We're gonna talk about that after. But that's a guy that's fucking tired. That guy needs a fucking shot of adrenaline or some shit. Yeah. That guy's done. But it wasn't that guy. I mean, you could put that. I mean, Leon could have ran a fucking. Did an obstacle course after that shit. It wasn't that. He said after the whole thing was over, he goes, he was not doing well. He did not feel good in there. I think everybody felt shitty in there because that altitude is fucking with people.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by getting tired. Like, what was it something that his body, he said his body wasn't doing what he wanted it to do.
Yeah, but he threw that, he set that up beautifully. He did it. He had the ability to do more than he was doing. But he was already saying, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to chalk this up as a night of me not feeling good. His coaches recognized that and started fucking getting angry the way they should, wanting to hit him with a stool. And that's the way you should act with your fighter if he gets like that. And now he's a world champion. He should be fucking hugging that guy extra today. That guy. Give me his fucking name, please.
Yeah, I love when I hear that stuff from the coaches. Like, Saif Saud does that shit in the corner.
Dave
Lavelle.
Yep. And then go back to giving those guys praise. Yeah, but Coach Dave Lavelle, that's who it was. He was awesome. They were in the corner. They were in the locker room with us.
No kidding.
Nice guys.
Yeah.
By the way, Usman should get some credit too, because Edwards had such a great first round. And for Kamaru to come back in 2, 3, and 4 and to be like, it was like almost like more dominant in the third than he was in the second, more dominant in the fourth than he was in the third and the second. And then to wind up not necessarily just kind of staying away in the fifth round. He just got caught with a good head kick, but he fought a great fight. And he was dominant for three of those five rounds.
Yeah, you definitely got to give him credit, because think about it. Like, when you're the champ of the world and then you get taken down for the first time the way he did and mounted and beaten up the way he did in that first round, he came back to the corner smiling like, man, I got a serious contender here. And then he came out and started putting the heat on Leon. So for sure, that's why I think that the trilogy is going to be even more exciting, because now he knows that he can be beaten. Now he knows that he's not impervious to getting knocked out. So he might come back. He might go to London if they fight this fight in London and really be. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you that. Well,
and also on the flip side, Leon knows that he could put him out.
That's true. That's what I'm saying.
He has the ability to take him down. So, and if they do fight in London, now the crowd's with Leon.
Yep.
That's even, I mean, shit. You know what I mean?
That makes this fight really crazy.
I see him running through fucking Liverpool, them throwing him apples. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know they're going to have that Rocky moment where he's running and the whole city's running behind him.
Dude, Marab was doing interviews. We were backstage when this happened. And I turned to Longo when the kick happened and fucking, I go, ah, I missed it. I saw it obviously after, but I mean, you're already thinking about what you're doing after the fucking, I'm like, all right, am I getting the next shuttle? And oh!
Rogan said something about when it was so unexpected, it didn't even feel like it was real when it happened. And it was like, I was the fifth round, I was going to walk into the room. I'm like, just watch until the end. It's like, you got to watch. You can't walk out. But I kind of just stayed because you're supposed to stay. But I wanted to go in the other room and do something else. I don't think anybody believed it when it first happened.
You know what's emotional? Me, I'm just a big pussy. I get emotional a lot, but I saw Leon talking to his mom.
Yeah.
The phone. He's like, I told you, mom. I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, I'm going to cry on this show. And it's going to be over something really.
Sooner or later, you've already cried on the show a little. What do you mean sooner or later? Who do you think? You think I forgot?
Oh, what did he cry about, Jim?
Matt's very family oriented. He gets very, very emotional with his family. He's very, Matt's a sweet boy. He's a
sweet
boy.
You little dark hearted bastard.
I know. I like it.
I don't cry about shit.
You're a little sweet boy.
I like what he tells me when a friend dies. He's like, oh, you know, I think like, when I think about death, I'm like, well, this guy died. I outlasted him. And I'm like, what the fuck are you?
No, hold on. That's the very, that's not how I say it.
That's what you said to me. I'm like, well, I go, if I die, you're going to be like, oh, another one. I fucking passed. It's not a competition, you weirdo.
No, we were talking. Hold on. Let me take out of context, Matt, and fix this. What I was talking about is how do you, like, as you get older and you get scared of death, right? I'm 54. So you start to think of, hey, I'm lucky to be alive because my other friend died when he was 45. Like, I'm lucky to have gotten what I got. It kind of helps keep you grateful when you see other people that have died and you're like, there's no guarantee that you're going to live to be 90 years old. So the fact that I've made it to 54 makes me feel grateful.
Yeah, maybe your friend is unlucky. I don't know.
It's just a way, and it's also a way of kind of looking at it without just feeling terrible that all your friends are dead. You have to feel lucky that you're here instead of just constantly grieving.
I feel lucky to be here right now.
You should.
Damn right I should. Hey, man, let's get back to the fucking fight. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to the trilogy.
Yeah, me too, man. I think it's going to be great. Like I said, it's a completely different fight now because both of them know that they can beat the other one.
Yeah. But what does Usman take out of that fight? Does he take out of the fight that he was, even after a bad first round, he was able to be incredibly dominant for three rounds and he knows that he didn't just kind of stay away? Is that one of those things where he can kind of like go, I got caught. He hit me with a great, great kick and I got caught.
If I'm Usman, I'm taking that away is that when he was putting pressure on Leon, Leon was accepting the pressure. Like Leon accepted the fact that he would walk back into the cage and allow Usman to put pressure on him because Leon is a defensive, very slick fighter, but he's not the type of guy that's going to bully somebody. So if I'm Usman, I'm saying, look at the sample size. The majority of the fight, he was winning the majority of the fight when he was applying pressure. When he didn't, that's when he got caught up because he allowed the slicker, more technical, more skillful fighter to have his opportunities.
So if you're Leon, what's your strategy for the next fight? You realize that like you can't stop the forward pressure. Is that what it is? You can't just keep backing up and letting him push you up against the cage?
Yeah, you can't allow him to push you up against the cage. You got to keep circling. I think Leon should have moved a little more. I don't think he did a great job moving his feet in this fight. He allowed himself to get back into the fence and taken down over and over. But I think if he moves a little more and pot shots, he's way quicker than Usman. We know that. So if he uses his speed, his foot speed, and his hand speed, he still can win.
He didn't really get beat up down there either. The guy's not walking.
Yeah, that's
around.
What I'm saying. Like he didn't. Right. His jiu-jitsu was fine. Like his jiu-jitsu, like he had a decent little sweep attempt. Like his jiu-jitsu was fine.
Yeah. So get more aggressive, also.
Yeah.
Wow, you know, invite him to. I mean, there's also like you know, it was almost like he was. I know he's got a good defensive shell, but like. It's almost like he was letting Usman pot shot him up against the cage. Just like let in on him. He was like Usman was like Rocky working the fucking meat in the fucking up against the cage. He was like Usman's work body shotting him.
Yeah,
man. And like you know, I think he took more than he even had to with both either footwork or even countering or clinching. I was like, is he looking? What is he doing?
It was weird, right? Like he wasn't doing. It was like he was allowing this to happen. But I do think in the rematch, because he knows that he could knock him out, Yeah, I think he puts on more pressure and he takes the lead in some of those moments as opposed to just backing up.
And you don't think that would cause somebody to rely on that then? Like, meaning, I'll fight the same kind of fight and wait for that big shot to come.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he can create that big shot. You know, I think that he has Leon Edwards is one of the most skilled fighters in the game in terms of skill, like speed, skill for sure. So he can create those opportunities for himself because the speed difference between him and Usman is really big. He just can't allow himself to get stuck where he can't use it.
No, I'm sorry, Jimmy, but he did create that. You know, he didn't just throw that leg up.
Oh, no, yeah. Right, hit it behind the left, yeah.
He threw the jab so he'd get his face
off
the jab, and he put him right into the kick. So that wasn't just some Hail Mary.
Yeah,
right.
It was the same shot that Dominic Cruz got hit with by Chito Vera. Same exact left kick.
Wasn't that the same thing that dropped DC, too? Wasn't that the same thing that dropped DC with Jones caught his head dipping?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It wasn't me versus Pete Spratt. That's what you call a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
No, listen. Go ahead.
Very and Rockhold Costa was such an amazing fight. Those guys, I mean, to watch Rockhold putting his hands on his knees, but his kick to the body, there's very few things in MMA I enjoy watching more than Luke Rockhold kick to the body. So I'm sad he's gone, but I'm happy he made it through the whole fight. That was an incredible fight.
Tell me your thoughts on that fight, everybody. Please tell me your thoughts on it. And I was backstage watching it with Longo and a couple of the other coaches, and I'm going to tell you, you know, what I thought about it. But please tell me your thoughts.
You know, all week I didn't like Luke Rockhold's energy all week because he had a negative energy about him, and I don't like that when fighters going with that negative energy because it's kind of self-destructive where they're going into a fight where they're kind of like, all right, I don't care what happens in this fight. So I didn't really like that. But the way that he fought with his heart. And I can appreciate that. I could appreciate when it got hard for him, he didn't give up and he didn't quit. Now, I think he's a much more skilled fighter than he showed. Like, he showed some skill in the fight, but I think he fought more with his heart. And I can appreciate that because we've never really seen that from Luke. Like, we've seen Luke get knocked out and folded, but we've never really seen him fight with his heart this way. And I think he did that because he knew it was going to be his last time fighting. So I can appreciate the way he went out on his shield.
Were you surprised Costa went to the floor with him so fast? I was surprised that he chose to do
that. Yeah, I was surprised he chose to take him down too. I thought that was a mistake.
Yeah, I did too. But why do you think he did? Do guys sometimes when you're fighting get annoyed at hearing at how good the other fighter is at one of the skills and go, fuck this, I'm just going to do this with him? Like, if you're typically a grappler, to stand there and bang with a guy just because you hear what a great striker he is, and what makes guys do that?
I think, honestly, you know, when you see like two kickboxers fighting each other and one of them takes the other one down, I think it's because like they don't want to get knocked out either. You know what I'm saying? I think they'd be like, you know what? Let me get this guy off his feet. And, you know, I know I'm a good striker, but, you know, they don't want to admit it, but they want to get that fight off the feet too so that they can, you know, avoid getting knocked out themselves.
Okay.
Now, listen, I don't know, man. Now, you got to understand, I'm watching it backstage. And now, when you're tired in there, now, Dean, you've been tired in there. I've been tired in there. You can never point out a fight where I'm leaning forward, holding on my knees like this shit, like mugging. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on anybody. But at the same time, I've been in there and I know how exhausting it is, and I'd be fucking die before. I mean, you're tired. Like, I don't know what the fuck I was watching. Like, it was a good fight in a sense where if you want to talk about heart, yeah, man, it was heart displayed. But fuck, they got tired. I mean, the altitude fucked with people. But yeah. I didn't know that it got the love. I don't know, man. I was shocked that people were talking. I don't know, man. They got both exhausted. And it was more of a display of heart, which is great. But I don't know, man. I thought that fucking Rockhold got tired really fast. And it was kind of a shit show.
Yeah, it was, no, you're 100% right. Like, from a skill perspective, it was a shitty fight.
Me and Longo were talking. We're like, what the fuck? Are we crazy? And there was a couple. I'm not naming other guys that were in there. But, like, the other coaches were there. They're like, yeah, we know what we're watching.
Yeah.
Like, and because Luke was then, because nobody was, no why he was entertaining. Because you think Luke's done and and next thing you know, he gets mad and he punches him in the face. One time he got mad. He's like, tired, knows what he's up against. The cage, and he hits him with a straight left hand in the face. It's like, oh, he's still alive.
And he was talking shit too.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this guy's like, he's leaning forward, holding his knees. I'm like, last time we saw that was fucking, Rest in peace, Kimbo Slicerus, that other fucking guy.
Oh, Dada 5000.
Dada, yeah.
Now, you know what it is? It's because a lot of people, they don't understand the X's and O's of fighting, but what they can understand is emotion. And when you got a fight like that where the emotion stands out so much, people can appreciate that more so than like a skilled fight. And like for me, I'm like, man, what are we watching? Like I separate myself from the X's and O's and just enjoy the fun of it.
You know what it is too? It's the closest you're going to come, or one of the things where you're watching two highly skilled fighters have a, it feels like a street fight. Like that's what guys look like when they fight outside a bar. One guy's got his hands on his legs. They're both, you know, he's turning his back to him. You're like, this is how guys who are not skilled fighters fight, but they're both highly skilled fighters. I think that it's just something you don't see all the time in UFC.
And Luke is spitting blood out of his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, he rubbed his fucking blood on his face when he rubbed his nose all over his face. Come on. That was fantastic.
Let's talk about that for a second. Can I just say something? Ew, fucking nasty motherfucker. What the fuck are you doing? Longo's like, this guy had one too many mushrooms. Like, what? This guy's fucking, What the fuck? Hey, oh, hey, True Blood. What the fuck's going on? Relax. What the fuck? Hey, fucking, what is he doing? What the fuck was he doing? At first, I thought he was putting his chin.
That's what I thought, too. But he was really like trying to like run his blood in his face.
Him. I go, hey, dude, how about your fucking, how about foul? If somebody's on me, I'm going to be like, fucking bite him. Fuck, get your nasty shit. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Is there any strategy to that? Like when you're in the last round and it's desperate, is it almost like the same thing of trying to disrupt his breathing with a hand over the mouth? Is it just one thing that might break his will or one thing that might make him make a mistake because he's disgusted? Is there a possible reason for that?
Yeah, try to make out with him. That's what you do. Make out with him.
No, man, listen. Again, that negative energy that Luke had all week, like Luke was in a dark place, man. You know what I'm saying? You could tell he was in a dark place. So when he was out there fighting, he was fighting from a dark place. So, like, there was no limitations to how ugly he was going to try to make that fight. And he didn't care, man. Like, he kind of threw all his technique out the window just to express himself from that dark place. And that's what you get when you get these guys that fight like that.
Well, I hope the best. I want to see what's next for Luke in life. We should probably have him on here.
You know? Yeah, I would love to interview him, yeah. And see if he's...
Hey, you know what's kind of rough, though? I'm not, listen, because Luke's always been kind of like a pretty dangerous guy.
Yeah.
But he's always been kind of a pretty boy.
Yeah.
So now you got the new dangerous pretty boy coming up. So it's like the new younger model. The older model's like, don't you dare, I'm the bitch. But the older model's probably like, I'm still, this and that. I'm still young, but you're not, So when that was over and the octagon, you got to understand, it's almost like getting a shot with a truth serum. You can't hide who you are in the octagon or in a cage or in a ring. So when he's getting interviewed and now he's like, this is the real him. What's one of the last things he said? He's like, I'm old. He even told me. And on the worst insults of the week in the press conference, which I was there, is Luke was going off on him. The other guy's just like, he's a fucking old guy trying to act young. And that's where Luke's like, I'll kill you.
But you're right. The truth came out. The truth came out in the end. He's like, I'm old.
No, it's rough, man. He was always the tall, like the good looking,
that's
pretty boy.
That's a good point.
He's doing model shoots. And now he's fighting fucking Rico Suave.
I think he's 37 and Costa's 31, if I remember right. And he was dating Demi Lovato at one point, I think. I mean, yeah, you're right. He was and doing some modeling. So maybe that did play into it. I don't know.
He was like a model for like polo or some shit. Like he was like Ralph Lauren. Like he was doing all right.
I guarantee he's probably wishing his last loss was to a fucking ugly guy. Because that way he's probably leaving the cage like, well, at least I'm the tall here. Oh, fuck, look at this guy. That fucking hand transplant worked. You cocksucker. I don't know. Anyway, he should have gotten, hey, listen, if he's going out, instead of putting his thing in there, he should have pulled out his hair plugs and said, he's always still a winner somehow. You bald cocksucker. Anyway, Stati Thomas, at your age, please. So anyway, I
want to ask both of you guys about a fight too. It was, let me see here. It was not the, which fight is it? It was really, you guys talk. I'll find the fight that I wanted to discuss. The thing
is this, before we jump off this fight, why didn't Paul, now Paul Acosta fought, yeah, you could say maybe it's how good Israel Adesanya is. That's why Paul Acosta didn't show up the way he showed up versus Luke Rockhold. Well, let me tell you this though. Luke Rockhold's fucking dangerous. Yoel Romero is fucking one punch dangerous. He always showed up. I mean, I'm not saying the guy drank all the wine or whatever the fuck he was saying and this and that, but like, why didn't he pull the fucking trigger? Because he got taken out anyway. He wasn't coming in there like the fuck. He wasn't going for shit. And it's not like he started getting touched right away.
Against Izzy?
Yes.
You know what, man?
The only fight he didn't show up at. Even Uriah Hall, he went after.
Like, I was at that fight against Izzy. And I don't know what it was, man, but Izzy seemed like he had a glow around him during that fight. And when he went out there and stood in front of Paulo Costa, Paulo was frozen. Like, he didn't know what the, like, I don't know what it was, but he didn't know what to do, man. Like, he froze him.
Dean Thomas.
Could it be the moment?
You got that glow.
Yeah, he had that glow, man.
Brother, when you got that glow. You feel it, brother, when you got that glow.
What's he was wrong? In the back like, could you teach me some moves?
Dean Thomas, you've seen The Last Dragon.
Of course.
Oh, Jimmy, have you seen The Last Dragon?
I was busy. I have not.
It's a great movie. Bruce Leroy?
Leroy.
Oh, come on.
Huh? You warmed up yet?
Oh, Shogun of Harlem.
Yeah.
No, I've not seen it.
Show enough.
Am I the baddest?
Get up. This show's wrong. Anyway, let's plug in.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think Costa just kind of choked fighting for the belt? Could it be one of those things where he just the moment overwhelmed him and he couldn't get out of it?
He choked for sure. He got in that moment. And that's the difference because these high-level performers, I mean, Jim, think of it like in comedy. Like, it's one thing to do like a small little, like when you're in a regional scene, but then when you get in the big moment, like you get out there, like you got to make sure that you are fully prepared. And some of these guys, like they think they're ready for that big moment, but when that moment hits, the press hits, the lights get on them, it's a different damn story.
They choke. They don't perform under pressure. Yeah. Sure.
All of the lights, Jimmy.
You guys, Saldana against Sean Woodson, which was a draw. That fight, Saldana drove me nuts in that fight with what he was doing. Like when he drops him and he just kind of looks at him and then he throws his arms up. It's like, what do you guys want these fucking highlight reel moments instead of just going down and winning the fight? And it really cost him.
Which fight are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Woodson
against Saldana.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that fight kind of drove me nuts too, because I had high praise on Sean Woodson. Like Sean Woodson is really, he's a lot better than what he showed. I don't know what was going on with him. But he looked pretty bad out there. Like he didn't look good at all.
In fairness, when did he take that knee? Woodson. This is when Woodson got fouled.
Yeah, he got fouled. But I mean,
first round. That was the first. That was the first.
It was the first fucking round. So I mean, let's not judge him.
No, he didn't look good.
I seen him after. Like, we should get him on here and talk about it, because now he's fighting a fight, maybe fucking concussed. I don't know, dude. That's an illegal knee. So
yeah, but he got dropped twice before that.
Yeah, so
that was just another mental mistake by Saldana.
That Saldana was near the finish line. He was about to cross it, and he blew it
twice. He blew it twice.
It was right. He was right about. He was looking up, and he fucking tripped.
Yep. What was the O'Malley fight where he did that? Sean wanted the big moment, and I think he, instead of just kind of going in and finishing the fight, he tried to have like the walk-off home run. What was that fight? Do you remember that?
It didn't work out for him, though, didn't it?
And I think he won the fight, but it was still one of those ones where that shit seems to, that could have cost you.
Was it Chris Moutinho? Because he had a bunch of moments like that against Chris.
I'm not sure if
that's the fight, though.
I don't know, but, you know, this guy was definitely, he was celebrating a little bit too early, and then it cost him.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That AJ Fletcher versus
Angelosa.
Yeah, Angelosa fight. That was a good fucking fight.
That was a good fight.
But talking about fucking shooting your load, all right, AJ. Fucking hey AJ, got something against a Versa climber? No, more again. AJ, listen, I love Tim Kreider. Please tell me he's not your cardio coach. You're going to hell.
No, you need to stop. Hey, you need to stop. You know why?
You were fat also. Everybody in this group was fat. So don't attack Tim Kreider because he got a little heavy. That was his coach. He was on the Ultimate Fighter.
I remember. Hey.
He got big. Now he looks like he ate Tim Kreider.
I know. I saw him. I didn't even recognize him. But did you see he put out a tweet that somebody emailed him a message about his coaching and telling him that he's a shit coach because he coached this guy wrong. I mean, it was pretty bad, man. That's why I'm not going to get on Tim Kreider, because like he heard it from some fucking nobody who criticized his coaching ability because AJ lost. So I'm not going to get on his case.
Well, first of all, can I just say, in all, you know, being real, I like Tim Kreider a lot. I always like seeing him. He's a very nice guy. Yeah. And he was a really good fighter and he's a really good coach. That has nothing to do with his coaching that AJ lost his fucking little fight. That has more to do with AJ's cardio.
Yeah.
Like, he almost had him out, and he didn't get him out. He didn't, and he couldn't recover. And he had a bit of a break. Because he did a lot of stalling when he was underneath, holding onto the leg, and then he had a minute recovery. If you're in shape, that your heart rate's going to come back down. If you're not in shape, you're not. That's what people don't understand. It's not about, everybody gets fucking tired. But in that minute's rest between rounds and other times when you find where you can gauge it and get some rest in there, whether it's clinching or footwork, you know, you will, if you're in shape, you're going to come back. But if you're not in shape, you're not going to come back. But so that's why, not to get back to Marab, he has an edge almost over everybody, because he just, he'll stay at that same fucking level.
Well, especially in a place like Salt Lake, where everybody except maybe Usman, who trains at altitude, feels it. I mean, everyone seems to feel it there, or in Denver. You know, that's a tremendous advantage.
But to give some credit to Losa in that fight, he was nailing my man with a lot of right hands. So, like, no matter what, like, those right hands had to have made AJ Fletcher pretty dizzy. So, I mean, he ate a lot of right hands prior to getting tired. So, like, I think that had a lot to do with it, too.
You know what? Hey, man, you're right. I didn't even take that in consideration. You could be – I'm not attacking – you know what? The guy got tired. So, it's like – but, you know, endurance-wise, you could be in great shape. You take some shots, and that could really affect your gas tank, too, which is weird. It does, though. It's like you're in great shape. You get hit, and it's like, yo, you're not the same. You know what I mean? Like,
you're dizzy.
Yeah, you're dizzy, and it just affects your whole overall performance. He has good, pretty good chin.
Yeah, you know?
Awesome. Oh, man. But at all,
a great fight though.
And to Luisa, how do you pronounce it? I say Luisa. What is it? How do you pronounce it?
Luis Saldana.
No.
Okay.
Losa.
Losa.
Yeah. Losa.
He was almost out. I mean, that could have been stopped if we got a nerve.
I know.
That's what makes it so exciting. You know. But anyway, it was a good fight, and I'm happy that he came through, because he was coming off two losses, Losa, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a good dude, too. I like him.
Yeah, that was good. Jared Gordon versus Leonardo Santos.
Guys, Jared Gordon looked great.
Now, I'll tell you, Leonardo, again, he looked like he got – the guy wasn't pulling the trigger at all.
No.
I mean, he was not – it's like he was doing a lazy sparring match and fucking – and Jared was fighting smart. You know, even when he was clinching, some people didn't like it. I liked it. It was unpredictable. And sometimes it's more about keeping the guy guessing. Mm-hmm. Guy thinks you're shooting when you're striking. You could, you know, it's a shot he doesn't see coming, you know? But if you never shoot, it's nothing to worry about. So the last thing that Leonardo's thinking is that Jared's going to be shooting on him.
Yeah, so, right.
And he has Jared is a black. I think he's a black belt. Yeah, he should be a black belt.
I know. He's a brown belt under Danaher.
But he's rolled with the best of them. So he knows, you know, he knows enough to stay out of trouble. But this is what I believe with Leonardo. I think that he was afraid to get tired. And I think he felt something that first round. And then he said, you know, I'm just going to make it through this fucking thing. That's what I think happened. I swear to God. I think he just said, you know what? I'm just going to try to make it through this thing. And I didn't see him really trying to win. I really didn't. I see him trying to get through without
his
saying,
age and that altitude killed him.
Fuck, Dean. Right. Exactly.
Because his striking is better than what he showed. Like he put hands on Kevin Lee. Like he's not a bad striker. But when he was out there, you're right, he was in a sparring match because he was like, man, I don't want to get tired.
How old is he?
He's 42.
Wow. I competed versus that guy fucking over 20 years ago. when I was 25.
And also the night
did you choke him out?
I don't watch what Dean? I'm sorry, Jimmy. Dean was saying something about
did you choke him out?
Who?
Leonardo Santos.
Oh, yes. That's when we were both kids. But I'm at Thomas. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Altamirano against Daniel Da Silva, the opening night, opening fight of the night. I actually thought he could have stopped that a few seconds sooner. It seemed like he let that go a little bit too long. I don't know how you felt about that, but I thought he let him take a few shots more than he needed to.
Well, you know what? I mean, he probably did, but I mean, I don't ever get on the judges' cases for that because, you know, we say it's too soon, it's too late.
Right.
Listen, whenever they do it, they do it. You know what I'm saying? Like these fighters know what they're signing up for and they know the risks and they know that it may go too long and they know it may go too short. So I don't judge the referees, man. The referees have a very difficult job and I'll never judge them or criticize them for their job.
Yeah, it wasn't egregious or awful. I was just watching it going like, you should jump in.
The only thing I will say is that they stop women's fights a lot sooner than they stop men's fights.
Yeah.
When you see a woman get hurt, she take one shot and they're like, all right, break it up. But man, they let them halfway die before they break it up.
Do you think that pisses some of the female fighters off too? Like that they're not getting the chance that they think they should get to fight out of it?
I don't know. I don't even know if they've ever really addressed it. Like this is something that I've noticed. I don't know if they've ever addressed it. I've never talked to any of the female fighters about it, but it's something that I've noticed.
Who was the fight that Valentina, who was she beating so badly? I don't remember, but it wasn't stopped. Dana criticized heavily. I forget the referee's name, Mario. I don't even know if he's refed again since then. But his thing was, I got to let them fight their way out of it. But Shevchenko was dominating, really putting a beating on her. And I can't remember the fighter she was fighting.
I think might have been Priscilla Cachoeira.
You might be right. I'm looking at
it. I hated.
Yes, you're right.
And I like Mario. I know him. But I hated when before the fight would start, he would do this, the old hearts.
I hate that too. But then again, Herb Dean does this. They all do something.
Yeah, but that's where we're doing martial arts. Yeah, everybody, loving unity, loving unity. All right, elbow each other in the fucking face. Fuck off with that. You're making it about yourself. Don't make it about yourself. Big John McCarthy, he used to like, when guys would get like headbutted or something, or I he poked in the eye, go, all right, look at me. What do you see? You see ugly? Yeah. You see ugly? Yeah. Oh, and the guy go, oh yeah. And then, you're making a joke, Big John. They're in war, asshole. They're in, hey, look at me. What do you say? You see ugly? Yeah, dude, you're fine. Keep his mind in the game. You know, don't make it about your little fucking, go to the improv, guy. Anyway.
Honestly, Matt, when you say, I mean, you're not, you know, now I just know I'm not going to stop doing it. That's how we're going to end every show.
Jimmy, that's where I say there's a time and a place. I want to see Big John McCarthy on Adam Hunter's fucking thing. What does Herman Munster say? Lily? What's the wife?
Lily. Lily.
Lily, you see ugly? Anyway, why are you attacking Big John? Lay off Aljo, Big John, anyway.
Is that is that what this is about?
I just like to have a good time.
No, this is about Aljo, isn't it?
No.
You stick it up for Aljo.
Don't tell me my guy's faking. Don't tell me this and that. You never done it. You know what?
That still pisses me off to this day.
He's never done it. Oh, but you were close to it for many years, but you never done it. Oh, I was a cop in LA. You gave out some tickets, and you were probably one of those asshole cops. Not a good cop. I don't know. Maybe he was. Listen, I like to have a good time. We can get it. Listen, I have enough friends. I might be almost 50. I'll do an Eminem. If you ain't my friend, fuck everybody. I don't give a fuck. Oh, you don't like me? Fuck you. I got these two guys.
That's right.
Right, Jimmy?
Well.
Yo, don't you guys ever reach a point in your life where you're like, I don't need another fucking friend. I got my.
Yes, when I was six.
All right, come on, man. Can I just philosophize with you guys? Sure.
No, but you're right though, man. That's where I'm at right now. I don't need no more friends. I got all the friends I want in life.
Sometimes you gotta cut people out like cancer, Jimmy.
You certainly do.
I'm on Twitter. Twitter's the fucking devil.
It is, man.
Why do you want to be on that motherfucker? Just read everybody. Just be like, you get negative shit in your head. Fuck it.
I'm only on it to do like, I put up clips or jokes and I don't check the at mentions because it's actually fine if you're just posting shit, but it's for work. I need it to promote stuff, but yeah, I hate it. And I just don't check what people are saying. So I really don't care.
Me either, man. Shit.
I just redid my settings to where I don't even get notified unless I follow that person and they write me back. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't even check it.
I don't even know what's going on in the world. I don't give a fuck. I have my own. I take care of my people. I go to my house, to my school, hang out with Jimmy. The other day, I got together with my old pizzeria bosses from 20 years ago. I have a good time. Maybe get an espresso with Longo. Keep life simple, guys.
That's, man, listen, I'm with you, man. I'm 100% with you.
By the way, let's do another looking for a fight. That's a fun job.
I'm trying.
Why are you looking forward to a fight?
I know. That's the one I want to do.
I don't know. Go ahead, Jimmy.
What's now, up? Dean, I have a question for Dean because you're good. You always pipe in very quick little commentary when they're in the middle of a fight. Now, are you at the table with them or are you just on a headset somewhere else?
No, I'm sitting, depending on the arena. This time I was sitting actually next to them about a table over. But normally I'm like right behind them about a table over.
You're good at getting in there. You're good at getting in. You say something fast. You never talk too long. Are you conscious of that? Like you always just kind of get in and make a great point and that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's my goal, man, is to be as succinct as possible. Just get in, say what I want to say and get out. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't really want to, you know, be in a conversation with them. I just want to get in, give them some insight and then get the hell out of there.
Make a quick point.
You got that same philosophy with a lot of different areas in your life.
Yeah. Especially with the women.
Yeah. Get in, get out.
I wasn't going to elaborate. I'm just saying, I know my friend. Listen, I know you got a hard out. Did we discuss Tyson Pedro? He looked deadly.
Oh.
Tyson.
He looks like a breath of fresh air to that division too, because that division, I mean, they got so many good guys right now. And I like Tyson Pedro up there with them.
He's looking in form, man. Harry Hunsucker.
Harry Hunsucker, yeah.
He came for it, but Tyson was just overwhelming.
Hey, so we did the fighters meeting with Harry Hunsucker, and he's telling us his life story, and man, he had us almost in tears.
No,
he's such a sad man. Or laughing?
Sad. Oh. It was so sad. And I was like, I was rooting for him to win. Nothing against Tyson Pedro. I was like, I was just like, man, I hope he kicks Tyson Pedro's ass because I just felt so bad for this guy and his life story. What's that?
You have cliff notes? What do I mean?
Yeah, what happened?
Just the fact that, like, you know, his father used to beat his mother, so they left, and he was doing drugs at 11 years old, and his brother was hooked on meth, and it's just like this really sad story, and I was like, man, I just wanted to see him do better in life. And that is like his third UFC loss in a row. And I'm just like, man.
Shit, man.
Yeah. Are they cutting him or no? Does he have more?
I hope they don't cut him. I hope they give him at least one more.
Sure.
Give him at least one more.
Didn't he come down in weight? Didn't he come down from
heavyweight? He came down in weight. I think they'll give him at least one more because Tyson Pedro is a hard fucking fight.
But is he going to stay at 205 or is he going back up?
I think he's going to stay at 205.
Okay.
Guys, I forgot. I kind of came in hot. Was I yelling Marab at the beginning of the show?
Oh, you were screaming at all of us. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I came in a little hot today, guys. I'm kind of leveled
yelling out. At your friends. I'm heartless.
Jimmy, you know.
I'm a very sweet boy.
Bring up about me crying on the show.
No, you brought it up.
Yeah, right.
I still want to know what you were crying about. Like, you never said what you were crying about, though.
Well, one time my friend killed himself. Thanks, yeah. Jimmy. Thanks for making me, like...
But I didn't mention that. But I wasn't even saying that was bad.
My friend, Jimmy.
Jesus.
You know.
Dean, he's got a morbid sense of you.
That's not true. I told Matt how sad it was, and Matt said he was crying because he wished it was me. I was like, all right, I get it.
Guys, listen. At the end of the day, we like to have a good time.
Yeah,
we do. I want to give the producers a shout out because I told them to make a fucking correction for me and they did. You notice, Jimmy, this
funny.
We have all the faces of everybody next to the name.
Ah, yeah. You know what?
Hey,
I did not notice that. Hats off. They did do it.
Antonio, I normally shit on you. I'm not shitting on you. Keep this in. I'm not very good. Gold star for you, young man. Or whoever fucking paid attention to that.
Yeah. That's like Jake coming home and telling Vicky LaMotta, you get a gold star. It's just a little too late. She's not going to enjoy it.
Let everybody who's been born this millennium realize or listen.
I know. It's an old man reference.
It's an old joke. It's a Raging Bull reference. Yes, Steve Thomas is raking his racking his brain.
No, I saw the movie. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
Well, listen. The boxer used to smack around his wife.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is a very violent film.
Now tell the joke again. It's going to work. Go.
I said that when Matt Serra gives you a gold star, It's kind of like Jake LaMotta coming home and giving Vicky a gold star. It's just too little too late. It doesn't make up. See, Matt, you thought I wouldn't have the lack of self-awareness to do that, but I do. I did the joke twice.
You did. And I think it worked better the second time.
I'll do it four or five times in a row. Believe me, I can bomb from here to fucking till tomorrow morning and not care.
Remember the other day we were talking about why I always wear black like a little Italian Johnny Cash?
Yes.
This is why.
Why?
Because I told you earlier that I was wearing the same shirt as Dean.
Yeah.
Do you know why I changed it? What have I done since we started the show? Nothing, right? Right? Yeah. Right? What the fuck? What is going on? Well, first, wait. Which arm is good? Dude, I'm sweaty. I'm not even talking. I'm just sitting here. I mean, I'm ready to yell Marab.
I was about to say, you are kind of yelling.
I might start off the show going, Marab! Fucking Marab!
Yeah.
It's fun to do. Everybody, let's do it. All together.
I can't because
ready?
I...
No, Dean, come on. Jimmy, come on, go on. Ready?
Okay.
It's fun. Ready? One, two, three. Marab! He's no fun.
I yelled it and my thing cut out. Trust me, I did do it.
Have fun with me when I try to now let's play along. Well, I'll probably play along because I like to have fun.
All right, we have to wrap because Dean had a heart out and is a minute over. Dean, thank you for coming.
Guys,
anytime. We love you.
I'm just getting warmed up. I think you got to go plug something.
Yeah, man, I got to get out of here. But I love you guys. I hope to do this again soon.
Anytime, buddy.
Dean, I miss you so much. And I just seen you over the weekend. That's how much I like you. I'll talk to you next week. We're going to set up a Dana White looking for a fight.
No doubt. All right, y'all.
See you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Jimmy, there is one fight we didn't mention.
Yeah, Putilova over Wu Yanan.
Why are you smiling at me?
I'm just happy to be with you.
I love you, Jimmy. I know, Jimmy. I know what you're dealing with. I know.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
I know that you love me for me, though.
It's a fun job. Come on.
Is it fun? Jimmy, you talk to me about with your friend comics, do you say I'm a nice guy? I know you don't talk to me about your friend's comics, but if you say, I do this job, if you had to describe this, would you say this guy's, it's a fun job, you enjoy doing this with me? Because we've been doing this over 6 years.
I know. And when you say fun, I would say define fun. And what is the relative comparison? No, I love it, of course. It's... You're a hearty man.
You're very hurtful.
One of my favorite people. This is always fun. And I love the guests. That's why it's hard. Like when you watch a fight like Usman against Leon, we've had those guys on so many times each. We love both of those guys. I hate to see Kamaru lose, but I wanted to see Leon get a chance to feel what it's like to be champion. It's very hard to root for fighters when you talk to them enough times. That's the only thing I don't like about doing this, is that it's harder to root for or against somebody I like.
I didn't like, it was so horrible. But see, I'm the same way where when you have family there, when you're fighting,
and sure,
it's great.
Yeah.
But when you lose, it's devastating.
Of course.
So I didn't like when you seen Kamaru Usman's little daughter getting upset. They had to get her out of there type of thing. I believe even Conor McGregor, they said, mentioned it. Like he said how he's not going to bring his family to his events anymore.
Yeah. I think I was behind Shogun's family when he lost to Jones. I believe I was sitting right behind Shogun's family. And it was hard to watch the family react.
I'll never forget where, when I was going to fight for the title, I didn't bring my fiance. And she understood, because I remember the fight before, or two fights before, George St. Pierre fought a guy I knew from Long Island, yeah. Jay Haran. And at the time, Jay was married, or his girlfriend, whatever it was. When he got knocked out, he got dropped a few times, and he got over him. He started beating him. For some reason, they went to the audience, and you see his wife were crying, and people
trying
to pull her. And I'm like, yo, I got to go. And especially when I went there, I'm like, yo, it's a me or him. I knew it was going to be a do or die thing. So I'm like, it's either going to be fantastic or so horrible that I got to go through this alone and celebrate after, or get a hug after.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Usman put up a picture with him and his daughter, though. I think they were on they look like they were on a plane together.
They'll get over it. Can I tell you how we did say that Pudilova got the KO over
the elbows? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. I didn't know you mentioned it. But listen, this is how brutal the game is, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Kamaru Usman, who was on a 15 fight win streak? What was it?
It was one shy, I think, of Silva's, I want to say 15.
Yeah, so that's where he's at. He never really looked bad in there.
Nah, he looked great.
Ever. No, I'm saying in his whole career. There's not one where you could go back and go, look at this picture of him. Look at this.
Yeah.
Now, and then he knocks out a guy that's never been knocked out in Jorge Masvidal in brutal fashion.
Yeah.
So now he must be feeling invincible. So now you go from that and having that highlight of knocking out Jorge to being, now there's a pitcher going around, and this is how brutal the game is, of him laying down with his eyes wide open.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible picture, because it shows you how brutal the game is. It looks like he's laying, like he's sleeping with his eyes open.
Yeah.
Literally. So, and that's what he's doing. And that's rough. Because that's around now forever, and that's
forever. Sure,
there's a time back in the day when first of all, shout out to Rashad Evans, he's a good dude. I seen him over the weekend, and he's a good dude. He gave me a mushroom bar. I was looking for mushroom. I never did that before.
Yeah, so
nothing works on me. I ate that thing, and I fucking the night I just went to sleep. I'm like, well. I stick to money. Anyway, back to me. But I love Rashad Evans. But, one time he's doing a signing, and this little fuck, his friends like egging him, and he goes up, hands a picture of him, the sign with him knocked out. It was an ugly picture of him knocked out up against the cage type of thing. It looked
good.
So he fucking crumbled it and threw it. I mean, dude, I want to smack. Of course you want to smack the guy.
Of course.
I'm just saying, this game is brutal, and when it's good, it's great, and when it's bad, it's rough as hell. So,
yep.
No, I have no doubt that, Kamara is going to keep going on to great.
Of course.
But it just shows you how brutal the game is.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I know the game is a humbling, humbling game, because you just, you start off, like sooner, you go in the game one way and you do come out humbled.
Yeah.
It's not because very rarely do people not. I'll show you a picture of me knocking out Frank Trigg, and I'll show you a picture of me getting back fist by Shoney. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, Jimmy, sometimes you're the hammer. Sometimes you're the nail. What else?
I'm heading to Long Island tonight. 7 p.m. show. Yeah, I told you I'd remind you if you wanted to come. You let me know. You have a few hours. You don't have to decide right now. You let me know if you want to come. 7 p.m. at the beach house.
I totally forgot, Jimmy. I don't think I could make that.
If you can. If you're doing a class, you're doing a class. It's okay either way. I'll be in the city every night. I'm getting surgery Wednesday, so I probably won't see you Wednesday.
Oh, you're not going to be here Wednesday.
No.
Oh, we need a co-host. Who's it going to be? Guys, you got to tune in to find out who's going to be. I try to get a hype up into the next.
Yeah, show. It was good. I thought it was well done.
Hey. Jimmy, what else you want to plug?
That's it, buddy. I will see you in a few days.
All right. Sarah BJJ in Huntington, Long Island for all your jiu-jitsu needs.
Yep.
And that's it. I'm on Cameo, Matt Sarah. So are you.
Yep.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. I'll talk to you in a couple of days, Jimmy.
Howdy. Bye-bye.
Congrats to the new champion of the world, Leon Edwards.
Yes, congrats to our pal Leon Edwards. Hopefully we get him on soon.
All right, man. I'll talk to you in a couple of days, my friend.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.